Amen. Greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. I was just very blessed. I felt like Moses should have just kept right on going. I feel like he was speaking a lot on his heart, and mine would be the same this morning, it seemed like. He touched on them verses in Matthew, and I have those in my notes. Just very blessed. Feel like the Lord is, this feels like a confirmation from the Lord. Thank you for the prayer. I think I'll just start in here. So this morning, I just endeavor to share, it's nothing new, something that the Lord has been working on in my life more recently, and just causing me to realize some of the realities of life. And as I was reading in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I was just blessed again as I read through this. I'll just read these verses and then we'll make some comments here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'll read 6 through 12. So the title for my thoughts would be Godliness with Contentment is Great Gain. 1 Timothy 6, 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That's where my text would come out of. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world and is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. These verses make me think of the account of Balaam. I'll touch on that a little bit later. We'll read verse 11 here, continuing. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So just a few verses here on godliness, which I think would be similar to righteousness. Proverbs 8:18 through 20. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. Then in 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and which is to come. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I don't have a lot on godliness. My focus was mainly on contentment this morning. So I'll continue with that. I have a few quotes and verses here. Then I have like 9 points about contentment in some scriptures. I'll probably be continue to move fairly rapidly. I have a lot of the verses in my notes here. Okay, here's a quote. The secret of contentment is enjoying the presence of the Lord. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The alternative to contentment is boredom with worldly possessions. We know that those things don't bring us lasting joy and happiness. Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. It is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes us happy. C.H. Spurgeon. Contentment is realizing that God has already provided everything I need for my present and future happiness. I'll read that again. Contentment is realizing that God has already provided everything I need for my present and future happiness. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Point number one, contentment is contrary to human nature and must be learned. We long for a better environment, assuming that with different surroundings we will achieve contentment. Yet Adam and Eve had the perfect environment, and they were not content in it. They had perfect health, a perfect marriage, a perfect garden, and daily fellowship with God Himself. Yet they soon believed the lie that God had not provided everything they needed for their present and future happiness. If Adam and Eve were not content in the Garden of Eden, what hope is there for us? Apart from the spiritual insight that comes from God, may we with Paul be able to say, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Philippians 4:11. Point number two, contentment begins by knowing the purpose of life. God is the only one who can fill the void in our lives. The Apostle Paul's aim was to know Him, Christ, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Philippians 3:10. Next to faith, this is the highest art, to be content in the calling in which God has placed you. Martin Luther said that. Next to faith, this is the highest art, to be content in the calling wherewith God has placed you. 1 Corinthians 7:24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Point number three, contentment requires distinguishing between needs and wants. Here are a few things in life that are, there are few things in life that are really necessary. In fact, God identified just two, food and clothing, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. 1 Timothy 6:8, if we are not content with the basics of food and clothing, we will never be content, no matter how many things we obtain. God has promised to provide all our needs. However, He has not assured us that we will get all our wants. Matthew 6:31, a couple verses there following. Therefore, take no thought, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink. What shall we eat or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If I'm not satisfied with what I have, I will never be satisfied with what I want. Discontentment makes rich men poor, while contentment makes poor men rich. That's a quote from Benjamin Franklin. Point number four, discontentment begins by desiring self-sufficiency. When either partner in marriage becomes self-sufficient, the love relationship is damaged because joy comes from giving and receiving. The temptation of Adam and Eve was not simply to taste some forbidden fruit, but to become self-sufficient and no longer need God. The subtle serpent told them that if they ate the fruit, they would be as gods and be able to decide for themselves good and evil. Genesis 3:1-6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Point number five, discontentment leads to covetousness. When a brother complained about not receiving his fair share of an inheritance, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things he possesseth." Luke 12:15. Covetousness produces idolatry. Idolatry is trusting people or possessions to do for me what only God can do. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If we desire what God has not given us, but what he has given to others, we are guilty of coveting. This is a violation of the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 20:17. When we expect from possessions or people what only God can give, we turn them into idols and become guilty of idolatry. For example, if we expect security from money, we make money an idol because only God can give security. Likewise, if we expect fulfillment from wealth or expensive possessions, we make them idols. The same is true if we look to food or diets alone for health. We know that our health comes from God. Now we don't want to be foolish in that way. Point number 7. Contentment is achieved by exchanging things for more of Christ. This blessed me here a lot. Someone has wisely observed that Jesus is all we need. We will not know it until he is all we have. Paul understood this truth by exchanging things for more of Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things that I may win Christ. May that be all of our hearts, that we could be focused on him. Philippians 3:8 is where that verse comes from. In one sense, life is a continual exchange. We exchange time on the job for money, then we exchange money for food, and we exchange food for strength. A wise person will exchange things of lesser value for things of greater value. I'll read that again. A wise person will exchange things of lesser value for things of greater value. And then here's a quote we've all heard that fits in well here. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Point number 8. Contentment allows us to gain things of greater value. Contentment is setting our affections on eternal treasures rather than on temporal possessions. It is experiencing the qualities of godliness without the distraction of earthly cares. Jesus warned about the conflict between temporal things and eternal riches when he spoke of the seed falling into different types of soil. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Matthew 13:22. The more I release earthly possessions, the more I can grasp eternal treasures. God is my strength and portion forever. As I mentioned earlier, I'll touch on a few things on the folly of Balaam. So, point number 1, he coveted the money of Balak. 2 Peter 2:15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. He asked God, point number 2, underneath the folly of Balaam, he asked God a second time after plainly being told once. In Numbers 22:12, and God said to Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Numbers 22:19. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know the Lord will say unto me more. Point number three, Balaam went with the messengers of Balak. Numbers 22, 21, and 35. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Verse 35. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Number four, he taught Balak to bring a curse on Israel. Numbers 31:16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Revelations 2:14-15. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Then point number five, perished as an enemy of God. What a sad end. Numbers 31:8. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. This was the Israelites, I believe. And then Joshua 13:22. Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. And then in Psalm 73, I'll just read this psalm. It's a psalm of Asaph. It's kind of maybe a testimony of how we see in the first few verses here, how he was tempted to be envious of the wicked. He was envious of the wicked. And then in the latter part, we see how God revealed to him how the end of the wicked and their folly. I'll try to not take too much time here. So verse 1, Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And we see in verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Seems like they prosper. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh throughout the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went in unto the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. We see this here. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one waketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved. I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-warring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that may I declare all thy works. It just really blessed me as I read through that, and I seen how that it can be tempting to us as we live in this world to see the prosperity of some of the wicked that seem to prosper and don't have trials and those things in life. But then as we see the end of those things is not what we're after. We seek a better end. A few questions here to help summarize my thoughts. In what ways do I enjoy the presence of the Lord? What can I do to enjoy the presence of the Lord more in my life? Do you enjoy spending time with your family? Are you making practical use of the possessions that have been entrusted to you? Have you set your affections on things that you think will make you happier? Do you become bitter when your possessions are damaged or stolen? When damage comes to your life, possessions or family, do you have the response of Job? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you rejoice in the wealth of things that money can't buy, such as health, freedom, a good name, a clear conscience, and eternal salvation, more than temporal possessions? Do you believe that God has given you all that you need? And again, this was just a reminder for us. I trust it's a blessing to some of you. Just thoughts that have been going through my mind, and just a reminder to be focused and to not lose focus on the many things that we can here in this life. That's all I have. Bless you all.